Oh my goodness, those are some harsh words from Jesus. Sometimes when people hear harsh words from Jesus or hear harsh words from people who are saying that they are speaking for Jesus, which is all too often, people decide, nah, I'm not going to go to church. I don't want to be part of a church because everyone's so not like I think church should be. And we've talked a bit before about why people decide not to be part of a church. Like maybe they've had a negative past experience. Or maybe they have no history at all of going to church. There's an awful lot of people that have no history at all going to church. Or they see church as being completely out of touch with what's happening in the world. The number one reason, according to the Pew study from PRRI, I forget what it's called, PRRI are the initials of the agency, says that people who don't go to church, the biggest reason, especially in the younger population, is that they have decided and have seen that the church is anti-LGBT. That's like the chief reason. It's more than just being out of touch. It's like, that's it. They treat the LGBT community awfully, and so I don't want anything to do with that community. Last year I went to the train station like I did this year on Pride Sunday and had a sign that said, going to Pride, stop here for a blessing. And there weren't a ton of people. There were maybe 50 or 60 people. And one two-person group in particular really gave me a side eye as I walked up there. And they're like, yeah. And the reaction was, I don't want to be anywhere near a person with a robe. Not noticing that it was a rainbow stole that I had on, a sign with rainbows on it that said, ask for a blessing. But then the person who was giving me the side eye talked to their friend, and their friend said, I think he's being nice. And the person said, wait, what? How is that possible? And then we had a conversation, and then I did a blessing, and they were excited and happy, and got a picture last year that we posted on the Facebook page for the church this year, and it was a girl wearing a tutu, and then a guy sort of like about to kiss me on the cheek, and that was that sort of represented the experience last year of what people had seen as a negative, and then it was something very positive. This year, I saw the girl who was wearing the tutu. She was wearing a different outfit, and I didn't quite recognize her, but she came up to me and she said, I was in a picture with you last year. It was so great, and I just wanted to say hi this year, and I'm going again. And it was a connection and a new experience, someone who had a positive experience related to church, who maybe hadn't before. But this year, there were about 200 people that were there. I'm sure they didn't all come for me. You know, for the blessing. I'm sure they were all, you know, going. It was a nicer day probably this year, not as hot. And so I got to talk with a lot of people, great experiences. And one very short experience is the most profound to me this day. And I will cry. Just thinking about it makes me cry because it was so short. And here's what it was. I'm walking up and I was about to say, would you like a blessing on your way to Pride? And the person looks at me and says, I'm not going to lie, I just teared up. She didn't share with me what her experience had been with church or anything like that. But in that moment, her heart was warmed that here is a person representing church that is doing a blessing at a time where we're about to see protests from people who are acting awfully. What a beautiful experience. So instead of being a negative, or even starting with a negative, it starts off with a positive, a warm feeling, an awe. Not going to lie, it's making me tear up. We have to be a community that reaches out to people who might tear up at our presence because it's so positive. To reach out to the nuns, not the nuns from the Catholic Church, the people who are not connected to any church at any time. And in being the church, we We need to do the things that are written on our sign right out here in the narthex. It says, protect the environment, care for the poor, forgive often, reject racism, fight for the powerless, share earthly and spiritual resources, embrace diversity, love God and enjoy this life. That is being the church, and it would follow that. That's the reason why people would go to church, to find those things. It may be the reason why people who have not come to church here at St. Paul's previously would come. But another survey, it's not the chief reason people have typically gone to church, historically, even more recently. So the big question, why do people go to church? Why have they gone to church and continue to go to church? For many people, church is about helping people have successful lives. Here's a professor of business and government policy at Syracuse University, Arthur Brooks. He recently said this. People who faithfully practice their religion make life easier for the rest of us. Those who attend religious services at least once a week commit fewer crimes, are less likely to divorce, are more likely to donate to non-religious causes. It was in a book called Gross National Happiness, Why Happiness Matters to America and How We Can Get More of It. So, becoming a successful, law-abiding, generous person, that's not a bad reason to go to church. Maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I wrote an article for a magazine. The article was called Fix My Kid. Godparents, you're going to appreciate this. Maybe it's not right yet, but here's a few tidbits from that article. Quote from a parent. I don't understand why my 15-year-old keeps yelling at me and acting so bratty all the time. I ask him to be more polite to me, and he says I never listen to him. All I'm asking is for that he stops yelling so much. Do you think you can talk to him and get him to stop? These are experiences I've had as a minister or as a youth minister. Just fix my kid. You're going to talk to the minister and everything's going to be better. Here's another. My daughter said that she doesn't want to go to college right after high school. She wants to work and earn money this year for a big trip next year. That means she isn't planning on going to college for at least 2 years. Can you set her straight with some pastor talk? Real situations. And situations like that, requests, they are very familiar in ministry. Many parents want their students to be involved with church so that they'll become well-adjusted, successful adults. They also expect that because they're part of a church group, students will behave better throughout their high school years. In general, folks want to be in church so they'll be around well-adjusted, successful people who behave. That, historically, has been why people go to church. It's different than this be the church idea, these new things, you know, this Jesus stuff. But see, it brings up a bigger question. Are we here to make people behave better? Are we a character-building, honorary society? Or maybe there's something more that we're called to as the church. And today's Bible reading, as harsh as it is, suggests that the idea that following Jesus makes us into safe, well-adjusted people is not at all accurate. There's something that we miss when all we look at is the rest, rejuvenation, reconciliation, and peace that Jesus gives to those who are harassed and helpless. Because following Jesus isn't about being comfortable with the way things are. It never, ever has been. It's about having a passion to live a life dedicated to justice and peace, no matter how unpopular or how unsettling that it is to us and to those around us. That's what following Jesus is. There's a fellow who used to run a company called Youth Specialties. He died in 2003. His name was Mike Iaconelli. Beautiful man. He lived in far northern California. Sort of a hippie, sort of not. He used this term, dangerous wonder, It's also one of his book titles. But to describe the marvelous, the troubling, the fulfilling, confusing, peaceful, and dangerous life of following Jesus. He said that his experience following Jesus was a lot like the experience that C.S. Lewis described in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where Lucy and Aslan romp. Here's a quote from that book. "It was such a romp as no one had ever had except in Narnia. And whether it was more like playing with a thunderstorm or playing with a kitten, Lucy could never make up her mind." Lucy and Aslan romped. She couldn't figure out, is this a thunderstorm? Or is this a kitten? And then there's another character, Mr. Beaver. He's in the book. And his reaction to the question whether or not Aslan was safe, because the kid said, "Well, that's a lion. Is he safe?" And then Mr. Beaver says, "Safe? Whoever said anything about being safe? Of course he isn't safe. Oh, but he is good, I tell you." Today's reading isn't safe, but it's good. There is goodness woven through it. It's a warning to the first disciples that they needed to unlearn what they thought about the world. Jesus was describing for them a new set of priorities that were in contrast with the way they may have thought things were. Jesus gives us a message that the way of building up well-adjusted grown-ups, people who behave and live successful lives, is contrary to Jesus' calling to be the church. It doesn't mean that we can't be grown-up, successful adults, but it means that's not our chief purpose. Today, Jesus would say something like, to the church, "You want to follow me so that you can have your best life now? Lose what you think life is about and let me show you my way." Of course, Jesus promises rest and rejuvenation, reconciliation, peace to the people who are harassed, to the people who are helpless. But this adventure of following Jesus, it's so much more than relief. It's marvelous. It's troubling. It's fulfilling. It's confusing. It's peaceful. It's dangerous. It is life-changing. It is world-changing. Following Jesus, following the way of Jesus, being the church, is by no means safe, but it is good. It's peaceful and dangerous. It's unsafe and good. It's losing and gaining. And with that in mind, this week, take one point from our Be the Church banners. On your way out, take a picture of it or write something down. You can see it right out there. And take one point and put it into action in some way. I don't know what that's going to be, but that's your challenge for the week. From the Be the Church banner, protect the environment, care for the poor, forgive often, reject racism, fight for the powerless, share earthly and spiritual resources, embrace diversity, love God, enjoy this life. Take one. You can take more if you want, but take at least one and put it into action. Be the church. Be bold and daring. Amen.